Okay, it's been a while. It's Natalie Jones, and we are in a whole new phase of the Person of Interest with me, Natalie Jones. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a while. COVID and everything has set stuff back, but don't you worry. We got a lot of stuff coming up, and it's nice to get back to some sort of normalcy here. I asked Megan Mitchell to come on this week to talk about her life and journey. She's a woman I really admire for her strength and effortless joy in life. And I think that really comes through today. I barely did any editing because we didn't need to. I don't want to silence that girl at all. She's really great. I loved spending time with her. I could have spent more time, but let's get to it. This is Megan Mitchell on this week's Person of Interest.
To be super normal in these things? And
I don't know how to be normal, so let's not be normal.
Oh, good. Oh, we have so much in common. Dear Lord. Megan Mitchell, I'm just going to start this off by... Megan and I did a workout video today, and we tried to do it for like an hour, worked up a whole lot of sweats, and it was fun.
It lasted.
It did.
5 minutes.
We tried. What I think is really great about this is that our journey of friendship, which I'm going to call us friends now, that's okay.
Of course.
Started off so great because I messaged you on Instagram, and then I drove past you and saw you picking up.
I had poopy dog. In my hand.
Yes, you had some dog poop in your hand. And I like slammed on the brakes and went in reverse. And I was like, hey, Ann! Hi!
I was literally like, who, what? And then I was like, oh my God, Natalie! And we were in the middle of planning this.
Yes, so we were throughout all of the messages.
We kind of just ended up shouting.
Pretty much, which is really like common for me to shout out in like my hoopty car. People were always like, who is that? I'm like, oh my God! Hi! Nat! Did I forget to message you back? Shoot, I thought I did. That is a story of my life.
I'm having deja vu right now.
Yes, God, this is this freaking story of my life. I just don't get a phone's work now. Every time I go back, I'm like, this message never popped up that it was sent before. You know what I mean? Like, how does it? Anyway, I'm making excuses, to be honest,
no,
I guess.
But look at us there, here now.
But also, we did it. Yeah. We did it. All right, I'm just going to rattle these things off. Listen to this. Oh. Megan Mitchell, weekend... morning anchor and reporter at WLWT currently.
Okay. Hey.
So Megan, I just found out, just turned 28.
Hey. No, I turned 28 in September.
Oh, this coming September.
So, like in 2 months.
Oh, okay.
So like still 27.
Awesome.
Holding out to 27 as long as I can.
Yeah, that's like you said the thing about like 27 has been whatever.
Mm. Exactly. So like this upcoming next 2 months should be the end of the bad mojo that
you're gonna lead us. You're gonna lead us to Shangri-La. Yeah.
So
I'm gonna hold you to that. We'll come back in 2 months and be like, well, Megan, you know what? It's just getting worse. What's going on? You know, at 2020 we said was me and my sister-in-law were like, this is the year of Natalie. I'm gonna stop giving so much and exhausting myself. I'm gonna work on me. And like, you know what? This is, you know, it's been a crazy year. So
did we all just jinx ourselves?
I think we did.
We're like, new decade, new me.
Right? For like, I'm older than you, but like as I remember when it turned millennium, I was 2000. I was 13, and it was all like, the world's gonna end. But we were all like listening to Backstreet Boys, wearing glitter, and our hair like, ew.
Absolutely,
it's great.
The millennium album.
Oh my God! Yeah. Don't even. Mm-hmm. Oh God, that was the best. The absolute best ever. I waited in line. My a friend's dad dropped us off. Not looking back, crazy irresponsible, but whatever. It was a different time. He dropped us off at Thriftway at 2 o'clock in the morning so we could wait in line to buy Backstreet Boys tickets.
No way.
We're the first ones there. We're thinking like we're getting back. We didn't understand how it worked. We're like, we're gonna meet them. This is amazing. We're probably gonna get married or something. They're gonna sign my teddy bear. Oh. We ended up getting last tickets, like last row seating.
Oh.
At the Millennium Tour.
But it was still great.
Okay, back to you.
All right.
Okay, so Megan Mitchell, a very own WLWT. So she's 27 years old. And let's just listen. I'm going to tell you, Megan is from Connecticut. I found out today. And you went to NYU?
No, well, I took like classes there that ended up contributing to my graduation.
Oh my God, were your SATs perfect?
Not at all.
Really?
And I like, yeah.
Goes to show those tests don't really matter.
It was like NYU and then Emerson. Emerson College is like what I actually got my undergrad from, though.
Oh, wow. What is your undergrad in?
It's in broadcast journalism. Like, look
no
at
way.
Me.
No way. Yeah, no way. Okay. She also, you were a freelance video producer at Strategies for Wealth.
That was, yes.
Okay.
Fun.
And then you are an anchor, producer, and reporter at WEBN-TV in the greater Boston area, which you're from, like, the New England, so fitting. Then you worked at NBC Universal as a news production intern.
Hey, hey.
All right, we'll circle back to all this. Then you were a morning news anchor and reporter in North Dakota, in Bismarck, North Dakota.
You
and
bet.
You were there for 2 years and 3 months. But listen to everything that she did while you were there. You were incredibly productive. You have won... you are award-winning. You've been nominated for two Emmys.
Yes.
Nominated for two
Emmys. Actually, three now.
Three.
I don't remember the last time I updated that. But.
Oh, my God. Well, this is just your LinkedIn, which I was like making your biography, and I was like, I just have to read it because it's like I'm going to copy and paste this anyway.
Yes.
And then now you are on. Okay, so also in Bismarck, you were a co-anchor and film producer on the highest-rated morning show.
Yeah.
And every weekday. From 5:30 to 7:30. Wow. You also did a lot of multimedia storytelling and live reporting. You pitched, produced, and wrote and edited a half-hour documentary, Two Spirit.
Yes.
Which is all about, you did a lot of work with Native Americans. Is that the correct term to use?
I ended up being the Native American reporter there. So it was.
That is amazing.
Yeah. It was an incredible experience. The people there are amazing.
Can you get the mic a little bit closer? Do you have
Yes.
It?
Hello, hello, hello.
You can move it. Move it. There we go.
You say hello.
Yeah. That way you can say super normal. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So you were, and then you also led the way, and you were super LGBTQA. I like to add the A on for alliances as well, or allies.
Yes.
You have been super amazing and huge leader and super involved in those communities in Bismarck, North Dakota, and here.
Yeah. And that it's been like one of the unexpected like joys of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So when did you, wait, hold on. I don't think I'm done with that. I think there's still many other things going on.
Let's go do it.
So Megan also played lacrosse.
Hey, laxing it up, bro.
So did I. Lax chicks with sticks.
Yes!
Hey. she also was a cheerleader. Yeah. You're from Connecticut. You have a brother and a sister.
Hey, Jillian and Drew.
You attended Immaculate High School in Danbury, which is like around... Brookfield, Connecticut, which is where you're from.
Yeah.
Also, she spent time interning at MSNBC and MTV in New York City while you were in college.
Hey.
That is amazing. So where is Emerson?
Okay, exactly. So Emerson is in Boston.
That's
so
what
like
I thought,
that's where I was like basically located, but then like I ended up my last year like doing half and half between NYU and Emerson, just like get credits because I also had an internship at NBC.
Oh, nice.
If that makes any sense.
It does. It totally does. Well, I'm familiar with traveling back and forth from Boston to New York, which is easy to do. It takes time, but it's like super. You can do it on the daily there.
And then I would just do my homework. Like, it was perfect.
Oh, great. Okay. And let's see. There's more going on. How much more? Is that about it? I feel like.
That sounds like way more than I would have given myself credit for.
No, this is pretty cool. So Megan is an alum of Emerson College, where she received an AP Award for Best Documentary for the half-hour show that we talked about earlier, produced on the Primetime Emmy Awards, and an EVVY Award for Best Television Personality.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a student award show, and I was like, hey.
Oh, my God. So this is so amazing. So this is just scratching the surface of, I just think it's incredibly, you're incredibly impressive.
Oh,
and
God.
I said this earlier to you when we were sweating, trying to do this workout video, but like, when do you have fun? Have you ever had any fun?
Oh my God, I always have fun.
Do you love your job?
I love my job. And I think that, and I'm sure you understand this too, it's like, when you really are having fun and like what you do, I also like love the people I work with, which is another big hurdle because in my last station in Bismarck, I mean, it just wasn't the case. I mean, it was just a new station, small station. Now it's like, love going to work. I like missed seeing my friends when I had to go on vacation. I'm like, I kind of want to go back to work.
Oh my God. That's
sounds so weird, but it works.
No, I get it. I'm right there with you. And it's tough when you have friends who don't live their life that way. And so they always say, you need to have fun with us. And I'm like, I'm having fun. Yeah. Like, I like love my job. This is fun to me.
I know. People will get mad. Like, why can't you hang out with us on a Friday or Saturday night? Because I anchor weekend mornings, Saturday and Sunday mornings. And I literally have to get in at 3:30 a.m. So it's like, no, I won't go to your party at 10 p.m. on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Because I have already been in bed for 4 hours, according to my sleep schedule.
Whoa. So, okay. So do you sleep regular hours?
No, it's so bad. I have to go to bed at 6 p.m. every night.
Wow. How do you wear an eye mask? Like, how do you do that?
I have an eye mask, you know, because I feel like I had moved around so much and it was just like, some of the windows look weird, so you can't cover all of them. So I was like, I'm just going to get used to this thing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're pretty dedicated.
Look at me, I'm so dedicated.
I think it's so great. You just accomplished so much when you were, you're only 27. And, you know, we were talking earlier and I was saying, 28 was really the year for me personally where I really like took my life and career more serious. And I'm like, girl, you've been doing it.
Oh.
Do you continue? Do you have other aspirations to keep on growing with this? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think like right now it's been like a weird time where my social media has grown in the last couple weeks because of TikTok. I don't know if you've heard of TikTok.
I was about to get there. Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, you know, this
the dog
is another
video you're referencing. Hello. So over COVID, you made this amazing video of you dancing with your dog.
That was, yeah.
And did that really kind of set it off?
Actually, that didn't.
Okay.
Which is weird because then it literally got set off when I did like this. I did like a little. Okay. It's a
I
TikTok
saw that as well.
Where you could see my. Yes, my undercut because I have like a shaved back of my head.
Uh-huh.
And then you see like a little chain. You see my little sneaks or tennis shoes, gym shoes, whatever you call them. And then you see like, oh, it's a news anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And that like right now it has like 3.4 million views.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm excited. I'm like, I got 3,500 on mine.
That was me until a week ago. And I'm like, what? Is
wow.
happening.
Well, that video is amazing. I watched it when I watched it's super short. And when I watched it like 7 times in a row. And every time I watched it, I'd notice something else. And I was like, Ira Gold changed also. Oh my God, I'm just like her.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And like, what I think is great is like, you look the same. Like, your face looks the same in every single video or in every single picture I've seen of you. So I'm like, do you ever get bloated? Like,
oh my
do you ever,
God. Yeah.
like, how does this work? Just to talk about that for a second.
First of all, it's so funny because like, oh my gosh, there are so many times where I'm like, I look so fat right now, which is only an issue because I'm like, I see myself every day.
Yes.
I see myself back. I'm also one of those people that's like, and I look fat right now and they're going to have to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like,
did it take you a while to get to that point?
You know, I feel like every woman has like body issues, body image issues. But I think for the most part, I've just like been able to at least say, okay, you know, I always reframe it. Like there's someone out there who does have like a big nose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not a big nose, but like a nose that looks like mine. That's like, oh, well, Megan has one, so I can do it. You know what I mean? So you just like reframe it like that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I like, that's a really great way to reframe it. I know I am like always, I swear I've been trying to lose weight. I've weighed the exact same since I was 15 years old.
My way.
I just haven't. I've just been this the whole time.
Totally understand that.
And like, and no matter what I do, it's just like, nope, nope. And then you just get to a point where you're like,
okay. It's just not going to work.
I know. And like some people like never get there though, you know. And
I totally understand.
I think it's
tough. Like there's so much pressure on women, you know.
It's true. And like, especially like you work on television every day.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you earlier, I work in radio. So unless I'm making a video or doing something, like I don't, like my go-to is always I come to work, straight from hot yoga, usually wet hair, no makeup.
Totally.
And if I have to like host an event that night or do something, I will put my makeup on casually throughout the show and like bring my heels and put them on when I arrive at the
place. That sounds amazing.
You know, I didn't realize how nice I
had it.
That's
the life.
So you wake up. So what is your schedule like now? So for those who don't know, Megan is the weekend anchor reporter.
Yes.
On Channel 5 here. On Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
And then what are your weekdays like?
Yeah, so then it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I basically go and report out in the field. So that's when, you know, the anchors in the studio will be like, and Megan's at Great American Ballpark. You know what I mean?
What time do you need to be at the studio then?
And every day, still 3:30. So I wake up at 2:30. Fortunately, I live so close. That would be a killer if I didn't. And so I basically just like wake up at 2:30, let my dog out, take a shower, go into work, write my scripts, and then head out to whatever location that I'm on.
So you've done every aspect of your job.
I really have.
I've done all of it. You write, produce, edit, you shoot the video, you're in front of the camera. And
I will say, here at my station in Cincinnati, we are the only station in the market that doesn't actually have the reporters shoot and edit their own video. in Bismarck, North Dakota, like that was my life. I was like a multimedia journalist, did it all, held that camera and stuff. But it's like definitely a luxury that like we still have photographers that are like employed for that job.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's similar to Q. Like we still have a lot of people on our staff, which most radio stations don't anymore.
That's awesome.
And we're starting to downsize a lot, but yeah, it's a, you know, we're not there yet. So.
No, I totally get that.
So out of all these different aspects of your job, which one do you like the most?
Oh, I know what this is going to sound so cliche, but like, okay, I'm half of the week in the studio. The other half of the week, I'm out in the field. And like when I'm out in the field, I get to like meet people and talk to people.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they send me on good stories in the morning sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so in those moments, it's like people are so excited that you're there. You're covering a great event, something that's benefiting just incredible people. And in those moments, it's like, I love my job. Yeah. I love getting to meet these people because I am a people person. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this is so much fun. You really feel like you're making a difference in showcasing, because journalism isn't just bad stuff. Journalism is telling stories, right? So it's like stories can be good. Surprise.
Yes.
And so I love getting to tell those stories. It was like legitimately make me in a happier mood that day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then the other half of the stories is just like recognizing that you have a duty to tell like a story that maybe isn't great, but like that really needs to be heard so that it could change the way someone sees something or change how
I think it's
forward.
Amazing. So, like, so it seems to me like the human interest stories that I know, that even just in the media and like in pop culture, people are like, oh, well, this story about the dog and the second grade spelling bee, they always like, there's some shade thrown towards those, but you love those.
I think that those are what can at least like brighten our day.
I
mean,
because
it's so annoying to me that people think that the news mean equals bad. Like the news means, I mean, the news is stories. It's what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I think that's because of so many reasons outside of your control.
That's so true.
You know what I mean? But like,
I'm not saying it hasn't been. Yep. You're right. Yep.
And it's like, I don't want to say it, you know, don't want to say too much, but I feel like, I think it's wonderful that there are, because when it comes down to it, we are all humans, and it's just humanity, and
yes,
it's unifying all of us.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I really like love the work and the job, and
that's wonderful. So do I. Like,
yes.
And I forget, like, people like get so excited that you're giving them exposure that they were on TV, which is like huge. People still like really want to do that.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And that's when it comes to like, you know, being balanced and fair. I mean, you're giving people who don't typically have a platform, you know, they don't have a PR team and they don't have a communications department, you're giving them exposure to make sure that their stories are getting told too.
So you seem like you've had so much confidence throughout your life. And a lot of people have struggled with that. I would say, I didn't gain confidence in being able to do my job. And I still feel like I have so much more to grow and learn, you know?
Yeah.
But like growing up, do you have moments or like pivotal moments in your life where you struggled or where you reached a new level? I would say like a new level of life and confidence or whatnot, you know what I mean?
That's
like
so interesting.
You're so accomplished at 27 years old.
Yeah.
And like the
you know, I love, okay, I know we both played lacrosse.
Yes.
And like it was obviously an amazing recreational sport. Mm-hmm. Like it's so much fun. But I don't think I realized until later in life how much confidence like girls' sports gave me.
Yeah.
And I think like investing in those types of activities for girls can be such a great motivation to like want to do so much more. You gain, you know, team skills, you gain competition. And, you know, if there's ever a moment where, you know, I felt down, it was like, okay, well then I had a lacrosse game and you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. And then, yeah, in high school, like we ended up winning the state championship, which is random.
And, you know, and you were all state too, right? Yeah.
Yes. I was. Thank you for calling me out on my lacrosse. Yes. But it was like at least a way, I think, for you know, an outlet for girls to feel like, okay, I'm not, you know, being judged on whether or not I'm dating a guy or who I'm dating or whatever, or like who my friends are. It's like you're out on the field, you have a little mission, you have a team, and then you just have so much fun, you know?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so like you brought that same mentality into your career and you were just like, I'm just going to try these new things. I'm just going to go. Like, when you moved to Bismarck, North Dakota, was that the first time moving like far away from an area you're familiar with?
Yes.
By yourself?
Oh, yeah.
How was that transition?
Horrible.
Really?
It really was horrible, you know? I think like in those moments, it's just like you you're like, okay, why am I here? You have to keep reminding yourself like why you're doing it, because mm-hmm. it was so tough. You know, all of my college friends, we had with this great group, they all moved to LA. My family was living on the East Coast, and it was like I was in North Dakota, and like, woe is me. I was like pity party central. And but then I gained like all of this knowledge about the Native American community and yeah. pitched to my boss at the time, like, can I focus on this? And he was like, sure. Like, there's never been a Native American reporter before. So, like, go ahead. Like, he didn't care.
That's amazing. And giving Native Americans a voice is super, super huge. They do not get it enough.
I'm so happy it that is, you just said that.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, going to start crying. It yeah. is, like, oh, when you learn the history of the Native Americans and the struggle that they have been through as people, as a society, and the hardships they're still facing now. Talk about being given the last, just used and abused. I'm just going to be honest. Used and abused by everyone for hundreds of years, for generations mm-hmm. since the inception of America.
It's so true. And like the land that they had been essentially exiled to in their own nation, it's not farmable, you know, it's far away from the major cities. And so it's just like there's not as many resources. So like when you take everything away from someone, of course they're not going to be able to thrive in the same way that other Americans with, you know, power and resources are going to be able to thrive. And so I think one of the things I learned when I started covering it, you know, there was a couple other colleagues at my station that were saying, you know, we're all green journalists at this point, but they're like, oh, like, I think I'm going to go to the reservation and expose all this, you know, scandal in the tribe and with the tribal council. And it's like, there's just as much drama and potentially, I don't know what the word is.
BS. Yeah.
And like the capital of Bismarck with white politicians. Exactly. But like, why aren't you trying to expose them? Because they hold power. They hold resources that if you tried to expose, like you would get. So I'm like, you got to think about that when you report on like minority communities, you know?
Yeah. And it seems like I could talk about this for so long. I just feel like they, and also within that community, you gave them a voice and you also became a leader in the LGBTQ Native American community.
Yes.
Which you don't hear about. You never hear about Native Americans at all, to be honest.
It's so true. And these people, a lot of them identify as Two-Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is insane. So I first learned about this when marriage equality was passed in 2015. Mm-hmm. Law of the land, right? Mm-hmm. Except for the land that these people had lived on for years, because they are their own sovereign nation. So they have their own government. They have their own power. So,
I know, but they're like, they're given no resources and they have no ways to make money within these little areas. And so they have to go outside of their company, outside of there to like get, to go to Walmart. And they're giving money to the other economy and mm-hmm. it's not, anyway, continue.
Yes, no, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so for millennia, Two-Spirit people were like revered within a tribe. They were medicine men. It basically means that you're someone who doesn't conform to gender norms. Whether that be sexual orientation or just, you know, you're a hunter if you're a woman. Or
and this has existed in
for millennia. And it's been like, oh, Two-Spirit people are revered, you know. It was never ever considered to them that it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Until like colonization came from the West and they said,
this makes me love the Native Americans even more.
Oh, but then what sucked was that all of a sudden marriage equality passed, but because they have their own sovereign nations and they were then backtracked because of colonization and like the imposition of Christianity, it's like now they don't have marriage equality and we all do.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That is so effed.
Yeah.
That is so effed.
And so I heard this because I was friends with a bunch of people in the tribe and then ended up just doing like a half hour documentary. It ended up getting into all of it. So,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I worked for a documentary film festival in Colorado for like five or 6 years. And we did a lot on the Native Americans and public lands in general.
Oh yeah.
And so was this like during, Bismarck is not where the pipeline was, right?
It was. Broke that story.
So were you there?
Oh yeah. That I was the only Native American reporter.
Oh my God. So many people from my town were there protesting and I couldn't get away. I think I was in LA at the time and mm-hmm. I couldn't make it. But like my friends lived there for 3 months.
Yes.
Like,
it was the craziest story I've ever covered.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So what was your life like when you were
Well, it just started out as just like a phone call. The public relations guy from the tribe basically called me and was like, Megan, I have a story for you, but like I just need to clarify, you got to keep this on the down low. And I'm like, okay. He's like, So the Army Corps of Engineers is coming, and we're going to kind of show them the site of where they're thinking of putting the Dakota Access. And, like, at this point, it was like, okay, the Dakota Access Pipeline, it's going in. Like, nobody was really against it. But he was like, if you want, you can come watch us show the site to the Army Corps of Engineers so that they can decide whether or not it should go in across the Missouri River right at the north part of, like, where the reservation is. And I was like, okay. This seems crazy. And, like, even the energy reporter at the time was like, Megan, like, what are they talking about? It's going in whether they like it or not, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, like, it just started catching momentum. Yeah. And it just started catching a bunch of steam. And I still am in touch with a lot of people that have been posting yesterday because finally a judge struck down, you know, that it should continue building.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's still going on to this day. So
what was the name of the film that you made about it?
Okay, the Two-Spirit one was like Two-Spirit, but then in terms of Dakota Access, that was not a documentary. That was just like different news stories. So I did like three or four news stories on it and then ended up moving here. And then
Got you. So, wow, this is, it's just called Two-Spirits or Two-Spirit?
Two-Spirit. If you'd have in like Two-Spirit,
film Megan Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay. So I worked for the 09.
Is it on there?
Two-Spirit. Okay, here we go. Oh, cool. I have not. I'm going to have it. I'm going to watch this now. Yay.
Yes.
Super cool. Well, that's wonderful that you feel, I mean, that you've given so much love to the Native Americans, because the more I find out about them, the more I mean.
Yeah.
And also, you know, so like, for instance, like I grew up with my parents. No, do not hold this against my parents. This was 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know, just saying.
Different times.
When they would go travel out west without us kids all the time. But they were just like, oh, they did not speak highly of Native Americans. They called them routinely alcoholics and that,
sure.
You know, and we still have all three of the blankets in my house that I use every day. My parents bought 35 years ago out on a res and on the side of the road somewhere, you know, and they're still in great contact. I mean, in great condition, side note.
Mm.
But now I've grown to absolutely love and adore the Native American culture more than any other culture. And to think, like, if America would have gone in this way, wow. And also, they created lacrosse.
Yes. Yes.
It's the first American sport.
And look at, did you like that full circle?
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, they have incredible ideas about, you know, being attached to the land and the earth. And it's really wonderful.
And that Mother Earth rules all. And you must live on her earth and protect it. And respect it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a lot of that is not.
Especially with, like, the planet and just showing so much love to her.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And I was almost like, Mother Earth is just like your spirit inside. It's going to lead you. Whether or not you listen to it or not is like, the biggest thing. But it's going to do whatever it wants.
That's hilarious.
And whether or not you live on its terms is how much your flow is going to be.
It's so true.
So now you are so let's talk about, can we talk about, like, when you came out and everything?
Let's do it. Yes.
Okay. So when did now as a person LGBTQ, which, by the way, I saw you at a Sunday at a tea dance once.
Oh my God. So fun. Which one?
The one at the CAC.
Oh my God.
One of the ones at the CAC.
Yes, I go crazy.
And I just saw you talking and I was like, I think that's the girl from the news.
Yeah.
And I was with a friend and then I had like so much work. Sundays for me are like so much work.
Oh.
I don't even have time for Sunday scaries. So much work. I usually have like 3 or 4 hours of work that I do on Sundays.
Oh my goodness.
Believe it or not. And so I just remember like I couldn't have a drink and I couldn't really. Oh. I was just like, I got there in the beginning and it takes a while to warm up.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I laughed. But I was dressed like a maniac and I saw Joe Rigotti as I was walking.
Oh, he's dressed
out.
Even crazier.
It was like the first time. This is funny. So before I like met Joe, I saw him twice. We were at the same function.
Yeah.
It was at Pride. And then I saw him at a tea dance. And we were both dressed absolutely crazy. And he stopped me and I stopped him. We were like, we have to get a picture. And then we became friends. I went through and I was like, we've already been tagged on phone. He's already met each other. We didn't even know. Which was like a really great moment.
That's amazing. He has the most impeccable style I've ever seen in my life.
Love it. Mm-hmm. He styled us, the Q staff, for our most recent
staff photos. Obsessed. That we do like every year.
I'm obsessed with that.
They're amazing. It was like the only time ever that I've got my picture taken, and super loved the outfit that I got.
Ooh,
if I didn't get to pick it.
Okay,
so.
Go Joe.
It was great.
Yes.
He really listens to you, each individual.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about your process of coming out and realizing coming to age and
totally
everything.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, if I was like, take us all the way back, like when I was four, I probably was like, I feel a little different. And I remember someone saying like, oh, a girl can marry a girl and a guy can marry a guy. And I was like, wait, then why wouldn't I marry a girl? Like, I just remember thinking that when I was like four. And then like seventh grade, like there was like a couple people in my grade that started coming out. And I was like, whoa, wait.
Wow.
But I didn't know. Yeah. And I had never like really cared about guys. Like I just never fell in love with any of them. Mm-hmm. I still have never fallen in love with a guy before. And so then
it's a waste of time. I'm telling you, it just ends in heartbreak every freaking time.
I'm missing it. Yeah. And then when I was in high school, it was just like different people that I was like obsessed with. Right. And I'm like, what is this obsession? Like, I want to be their friend, but like also like, I just like want to be with them at all the time. And I'm like looking at their Facebook pages all the time. And it was just like crazy. Right. And I'm like, there's no way people do this about friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then it was just like, I dated in high school like for 3 months this one guy and then like 5 months another guy, and that was like those were the only two guys I've ever dated in my life.
Second base?
Yes.
Oh.
and then it was just like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
and so that was just like a very clear like, okay, I definitely have not enjoyed any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in college, it was my freshman year, and I just started like once again having these like crushes on people at my college, and I was like, whoa, like this is scary, because it started getting like real, you know what I mean, like I can't ignore it anymore. Freshman to sophomore summer, I like went to Stonewall, which is actually that bar.
I got a Stonewall tattoo. Yeah, I've been there.
Oh my God.
Isn't it great?
Wait, yes.
So on this day, on Stonewall Day, is the day that I came up with this like brand business that I wanted to start. That is 10 years ago now, the day I got the tattoo, but it's been on my mind every day since that day. And hopefully it's Live True Be Free. It's on my Facebook.
Oh my
God. And like Pride, we're going to launch this year. So.
That's amazing. Okay.
So continue about that. I love this.
That's so weird. That's so fun. And so, yeah, I like didn't know the history of Stonewall or anything, but like I was there with a friend, and I ended up just like talking to this woman in the bar, and I was like, and she was older, and I was just like, what do I do if I do think I'm gay? And like, I'm like, I'm never going to see this woman again. And I didn't, but she was like, oh, like come meet my girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. And like, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then all of a sudden, like, it just like, a week later, I came out to that guy that I went to Stonewall with, and I was like, I'm bi. And that lasted all of 2 months. And
yeah,
I was like,
it's a phase. It's always a phase.
And it can be real. It can be real. But like for me, I was like just so confused. And I also didn't want to like feel like wrong about my sexuality. And now I'm like, whatever, I'm gay. And if I'm not gay, like whatever. You know what I mean? Like I've never fallen in love with a guy before. And then I fell in love with a girl, and we dated in college, and then we didn't date anymore.
Yeah, that's how it goes, right?
Yes, exactly. So yeah, and then but it took a long time. I mean, my parents were rough in the beginning. I mean, it was really tough
for
them. Yeah, and I mean, really on my mom, because I think when you see yourself in someone as one does, mother and daughter.
Yeah,
it was just like really rough for her, but she. After a few years, there were just like layers that started to get peeled back. Like when she first moved me into Cincinnati, she went to Pride with me, which was a huge deal, because I mean, this is talking like 6 years after I came out to her, and like, you know, finally she was like starting to like really become good. And then my brother came out last year.
Whoa.
And then it was like, okay, now they really have to because like because that's 2 out of 3
yes.
of the kids.
Wow.
And so and now like they're just totally amazing. And
that's so good.
Yeah, they're amazing. So
well, so cool.
Like you know the saying, it gets better.
Yes,
it does.
It does. And this is in the same regard, to be like total like black and white about it, like in the saying that it can always be worse. It can.
I know, it's right? So true.
You know, well, good for your parents. That's so amazing. So where's your brother now?
So my brother is actually going to my school. He just graduated high school, so now he's going to Emerson College. Nice. In the fall. So,
oh well, congratulations! And I'm sure I know that you inspire so many people, and you really do.
Oh my God! Thank you.
I'm sure you're a huge inspiration for your brother as well.
I would hope, except like he wanted nothing to do with me. He was like, well, because it went so bad for me in the beginning with my parents. I think in his mind, he's like, he literally said to my sister, he's like, I don't want to do it the way Megan did it. Now, I literally just like came out to them, but like their reaction to it was just rough at the time. I'm like, you Gen Zers have it easy now. Like us millennials had to, I mean, there are people even before my time who have like paved the way in amazing astronomical ways. Yeah. But yeah, it's all.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So would you say that experience, like with your parents, with it being hard, it made you stronger? Did it bring your parents?
Oh my God. Yes.
Sorry, we got it. That means that they're off air. It's okay. It's not our problem.
Love it.
Do you think, did it enrich your relationship and bring you guys closer?
You know, I think at this point it has, you know, there were years where it was really rough, you know what I mean? Like, and I think if anything, they have now become so much more empathetic to that experience. And even, I just don't think my mom and dad understood, you know, the empathy that you need to be able to like truly love someone who you are confused about or you don't understand, you know what I mean? Because like, I think one of the reasons why LGBTQ rights has been as fast moving as it has been, you know, it's happened within the last, you know, 10 years a lot of laws have happened specifically. And I think that's because, you know, you grow up for 18 years, you learn to love someone, and then you realize their difference. You know what I mean? So you've already grown to love this person wholeheartedly for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, and they're that thing that I had been scared about this whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, we're literally in people's families that are homophobic. You know what I mean? Like they then have to like realize that the people that they love are the people that are different from them. You know,
I can't even to me, it just makes no sense. I mean, I even grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anybody who was gay growing
me
up.
Me neither.
But to me, when you were it is just such a, to me, like your sexuality is where you make every decision that comes from. It is the essence and the true inception, the seed of your being.
Yeah.
And for someone to tell you that it's wrong or to shame you for it, to me, is just so incredibly wrong. Just like, just like race things as well. Like mm-hmm. I will never understand it. And I will never understand why people feel badly. I mean, I do understand like it's the way you're brought up, blah, 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 blah.
Totally.
But I will never really empathize with it because I just don't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
And I never will. I just can't. To me, it makes absolute zero sense. It's nauseating.
Right. I agree, obviously, but also like I had internalized homophobia too, where I was like, oh my God, like I don't want to tell anyone this. I'm so scared what they're going to think. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm scared of who I am. You know what I mean? So it took like a long time to even be okay with it on social media. I feel like once I got to Cincinnati, I like kind of like breathe deep because, you know, this is like a year after I came out. I like posted a picture of just like my girlfriend's face on my Instagram and just wrote date night. And my dad called me and like it was just like a S show. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Shit show? You can't. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And you sure as shit can?
Yeah. And so it was horrible. I mean, that it's just like little things like that. Like, anytime, and it wasn't like I'm gay, it was literally just like date night. It could have been like, I don't know, a fun friend date or something, but like it was just so bad for so long that I was so scared to post about it. And now I'm like, you just have to be prideful, you know what I mean? Like, like about it, because I've realized like how many people, like I'll get messages, you know what I mean, from young people. Like I've spoken at GSAs, like Gay Straight Alliances, at high schools around here. And those kids, I mean, the number one thing they ask me, they're like, Megan, when did your parents accept you? Like, mine don't, you know?
Oh,
and
so
I just, I try to be as visible as I can to show that, like, you know, there's someone out here who does accept you and is also like you, you know?
Yeah, and understands it. In college, mm-hmm. I was, my best friend was the president of the LGBTQ Alliance. And I, became just really involved,
totally.
You know, and
still, like, there are so many kids who couldn't go home. This is in 2008, we'll say.
Yeah.
Who couldn't go home for Christmas break because they came out and their parents wouldn't welcome them back. And I'm like, it is freaking 2008. Yeah. How is this happening? And it's still happening now in 2020, you know, all over the world.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely.
Which could get me on another rant. Have you ever seen God Loves Uganda?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to
documentary?
Go into
it.
Yes.
Oh.
About how, and this is super old too, but this is super old. It's like probably 5 years old.
Okay.
But it goes into how certain religions are infiltrating third world countries, certain homophobic religions, and have made, so now there are a couple African countries that have since in the past 5 years made homosexuality illegal.
Wow.
Because they have been infiltrated just like America was, whatever.
Yes, with Native Americans. I mean, the same type of thing. These
same thing
that's
happening now, yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely
I'm absolutely going to watch that because I would love to be able to like expand my knowledge about LGBTQ issues like
oh my
around
gosh.
The globe. You know?
It is amazing. And LGBTQ doesn't even, I mean, in that particular film, God Loves Uganda, it is what sparked my interest in researching more about those studies and now those stories. I always keep an ear out for them to follow, you know?
Interesting.
I know. It's nuts. Well, now like moving. So now moving forward with your.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like taking. That was a rabbit hole. I'm like, I just feel so strongly about it. And I'm the total opposite way. If my parents are like, I mean, if you married a man or a woman, you know, girl, you just let us know. We don't care. Like, you know, my mom always says, because I'm going to be 35 next week. Just like, you know, whoever you go, like whatever. Last time I was really hurt by a man. Within the 3 years that I've been home, she sat me down and she was like, you know, whether you marry a man or a woman, you know, like, it'll be okay. Not like life will move on. And I was like, thank you so much.
I love your mom.
They're dope. They're crazy, but they're super rad people. Like, they really are just like, go, girl, whatever you want to do.
Yes.
You know, living a crazy life. And they've always like just been supportive of it. So.
Okay. Amazing.
So it makes me really appreciate them for other ways that I get mad at them. And like the grass is always greener. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's
they
so
really
true.
Are no matter what
I
we would
love
do.
My parents.
There's, you know, unconditional.
Yes.
So now as you're moving forward in your career.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to be in Cincinnati for a little bit longer?
Yes. I mean, I'm definitely going to be here for like the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the future brings. Like, I literally got here, and like the second that I like stepped my little 2 feet into Cincinnati, I was like, this is home. I feel it.
Really?
I loved it. Like, it was really one of those right away feelings, because there was like a great group of young reporters that really took me in. And I talked to them every day, like 5 times a day on the phone still, you know?
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And they've like gone off to other places, but it just, you know, it's one of those things, like, I don't want to leave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If something does come up, like, it's not like I'm going to be like, no, but like, we'll see when that comes, you know what I mean? I should mention there is nothing that has come up, so it's not like it's actually going to happen, but you know, my options are open.
So as a newcomer to the city, what is your favorite part about Cincinnati?
Oh.
If you can, or your top three things, what do you really appreciate? It's
okay.
I'm from here. I feel like I appreciate it in a different light.
Okay. Just enough to do. Like, it's not like there's an overwhelming amount to do. Like, mm-hmm. I remember in New York, I would sit in my apartment all day because I'd be like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Overwhelmed.
Like, there's so much. And what if you make the wrong decision?
Yeah.
Here, it's like, there's some great little neighborhoods. You can go to them, you know, and there's different neighborhoods. And even in Northern Kentucky, there's some great spots. And there's like amazing restaurants. Everyone, like I said, I'm from the New York area. I will bring them to Cincinnati and I will bring them out to like specific restaurants. And they're like, no way.
Yes.
This food is amazing. I'm like, yeah, duh, I told you. And they're like, yeah, but they just have this superiority complex about like the New York food, the New York. Yeah. I'm like, no. Cincinnati food, man.
That's right.
Yes.
So I just had a girlfriend in town from Colorado over the past weekend, and she was so obsessed with Cincinnati. On Sunday when I had to do my work, I wanted to go to the pool.
Was this her first time?
Yes, her first time here. And she's from Denver. That's and now she lives in this beautiful, she lives on a mountain in this beautiful home in Colorado and everything. And on Sunday, I went to the pool with friends. She left and I stayed with friends, and then had to go home and do like my work night and prepare for the week, food totally. Prep and all that stuff, right?
Yes.
And so she was like, I'm going to take a scooter and go around Cincinnati. For like 8 hours, she kept herself busy, took a bazillion pictures, and was like, this is one of my top three cities, Austin, Cincinnati, and I forget where she said, like maybe or Portland.
Everybody that I bring here has said the same thing. I mean, they are obsessed with Cincinnati.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And you love it too. That's wonderful. Maybe.
I love it.
So we were talking earlier. I never thought I'd ever come back to Cincy.
Yes.
Ever.
And you did.
And I did. And now I'm here. And I mean, I love it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, totally.
Isn't it?
Yes. And I mean, where are your parents located now?
My mom is now, my dad is on the west side still.
Okay.
And my mom is now, she was on the west side as well, but she can no longer live independently. So she lives with her sister in New Richmond.
Gotcha.
Which is a whole another part of Cincinnati that I love to discover. It's so, there's so much
water
nature.
Down, yes.
Yeah, you know?
I love
and
it.
And like just river towns, like it's just a river town. Have you ever been to Fat Boys down?
I haven't.
It's like more in Moscow, Ohio.
Okay. Well,
it's this amazing floating restaurant where like these women run it and they bake. It's like this restaurant like bar where you get like chicken fingers in burgers, right?
Amazing.
But all these women run it. It's kind of like a Mystic Pizza thing. And they all bake from, they all like are talking about their lives the whole time and they love working there and they all bake all these amazing cakes.
Can you get up
pies.
To it from like a boat?
Yes.
That sounds fun. So like, I've been to the Lello Brumley Yacht Club quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I'm hoping
definitely
that
Oh, it's not around anymore. Right? I know. Away. Definitely not in that caliber. It is like super homeschool, super low key.
Gotcha.
My mom and I stumbled upon it and then we went back. And I just go and I just sit and I watch. I'm like, this is amazing. I love this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go find it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a really pretty drive, too.
Yeah.
Very pretty drive. So are there things like when you were younger, did you want to do what you were doing, what you're doing now?
I feel like I kind of always knew that I liked a few things. Like I love being creative. I always liked writing. I was like better at writing classes and stuff. And then in high school, I really took a hold and embraced like video editing. And I had like a camera that I would go around with. And this is kind of pre, you know, phones with video all of this stuff. So everyone was like, oh, there's Megan with her camera again. You know, I would like go interview sports captains and like just kind of created.
See, but even like the confidence to do that.
Yeah.
I would be like, I don't want to walk around with a camera.
Well,
no.
Everyone would make fun of me.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, whatever. Like I always had this like, I know I want to do this, so whatever. I don't even care what they think.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I look like a loser, but I don't care.
No, you don't. I think it's amazing because what happens is people see people doing that and they, I mean, if you make fun of anything, it's just because you're jealous in some way. That's just like human nature if you break the science of the way you behave. But and also like people just want, they're like, wow. It's really what everyone's thinking is, wow, I can't believe somebody
She's
is
doing,
doing
that,
it,
yeah.
You know, which
exactly.
I think is, and that just by default makes you a leader and someone that people go up to anyway. And it seems to be, you know,
I appreciate that. Nat, I'm so not true. Like very good at managing people, but like I'll do my own thing, and that's I
so
guess
this
the way
is perfect
that I...
for you. You were made, for this realm and era of reporting.
That's so
and
true.
Everything,
that's so true.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I actually just like decided my freshman year of high school, I was with my mom, and I was just like, should I just do it? Should I just like try to be a like news reporter? And my mom was like, let's do it. You know, my mom was like the most supportive person about like dreams. She like loves like getting her kid. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's, you know, a dance mom or anything like in any sense of the word. But she's always like, oh, you want to do this? Let's do it, Meg. You know what I mean? And she'll like be like, let's get you an internship at this place. And let's, you know, and I'm like, yay.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing.
She's like, oh, my God, she's the best.
Oh, how was it? Actually, speaking of interning, how was it interning at MTV? I grew up a complete MTV guy. I'm obsessed with music. It makes sense though I have this job. I always wanted to be a public speaker, and I'm obsessed with music. So
oh my
this
God.
Just like makes
this is your dream
it
job.
It makes sense.
Oh,
it just
absolutely.
Makes sense.
And you didn't. You fell into this.
Yeah, I had no idea. It's one of those things I feel like, and even like when I moved to LA, it's because I got an artist scholarship, and my like task was to move to LA and do stand up. And how did I get an artist scholarship? Somebody I know who's a filmmaker, he signed me up for the scholarship. He's like, you have got to get it. And then that year I won the most money they give anyone. And everyone was like, oh my God, do it. And I was like, really? I was just like hiking. And like, I feel like it was like everybody pushing me like, go. And same with this. It was like, oh my God, go. I'm like, oh.
And you look at you.
I don't know what my deal, you know?
Yeah.
I honestly think it's a lack of confidence thing. That really? Like maybe because I really
it's
have been struggled
with
so that
much
my whole
confidence.
Life. And I like I never saw it that way. I always had so much attention on me just for me being myself, and it made me feel so uncomfortable. Because I never wanted attention on me. That was never my intention of life. I would just do me and somehow it always happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, wait, no, don't look at me. That's not why I did that, you know?
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And I would like get really insecure.
Yes.
And until, really, I've worked at this job for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
I would say just until like 6 months ago, a year ago, was I finally like, nah, just give it up. At 34, I'm 34. I'm going to be 35 next week, you know? That's why I'm like, girl, you just, I not ever, it's not like that for everybody, even working in the bit. And I should say,
I have
so
moments
many...
of very intense self-doubt. Like, so yeah. I'm not the most confident person in the world.
Oh,
but there's certain things that I definitely am like, I'm just going to do it, whatever, you
right?
know what I mean?
And now it's like, I forget. Well, I just started talking about myself. Where were we before that?
Oh.
What did I ask? I really don't remember at all. We were talking about your mom.
Oh, she's great.
Mom's great. Oh, yeah, MTV. Growing up at MTV hat.
That was amazing. So I basically worked in the creative production department, which are the people who make all the promos, okay?
Oh, my God.
And so
also
that's
a dream
like,
of mine. I'm a campaign.
Oh, it's
my favorite thing in the world.
I really love it. And that's why I'm always fascinated by the promos that, like, we'll make at my station and stuff, like, it's just, it's a fun little like snippet of ways to like get people in and like get people interested and stuff. And so they would come up with, I mean, the actual people who were working and getting paid came up with the concepts and stuff, but they would have us like edit it like frame by frame to make sure like it looked good and looked correct. Cause I was really good at video editing and stuff. So,
oh my gosh.
Yes. I did like all of, there were a couple different places that we would do. We would do for Comedy Central that's under MTV and Logo, which is actually the LGBTQ. Cause they'll give you a choice. Hey, what places do you want to do, you know, promos for or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like so much fun.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Are you as obsessed with the new Kroger campaign of all of their little like
mask on?
No. The mask?
Okay, what are you talking about?
The one of their like animated people, the animated families
I know what
and
you're
stuff.
Talking about.
Just like the commercials and the billboards and even like the banners like, in actual Kroger.
Yes.
I'm so obsessed with it.
It's so cute. It's an adorable little concept.
I know. And I think like one of my friends is on that team. She's an underwriter. But yeah, I just love it. I think it's amazing.
It's so fun.
So are there things that you've worked on that would be like, oh my God, I've seen that or I've watched that?
Okay, like, I think it was the fourth season of, like, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oof, never seen it.
I've never seen it either, actually, but I've made promos for it.
Oh, my God, that's so funny how that works.
Yes, and they have, like, all of these, like, movies that were playing that we would have to transcribe, like, the funny, like, fun parts from them, because they would do, like, movie Sundays or whatever on Comedy Central, and, like, I would have to like watch these entire movies, which isn't a bad job. You know what I mean? I'm like, as an intern, I'm like, okay, I got to watch like a funny movie and like transcribe the funny parts that so they could like make it into like a little promo for this. It was just like,
oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And big shout out to all the queens in Cincinnati. I love you all. We're going to have to all do a workout fit together because I wanted to do one with them on Stonewall, but it was a Sunday. And my
Sunday, I
just didn't get together in time. I just, we had, I don't know.
It's been a weird month, you know, specifically
so
during Pride.
Yes. And and Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
And everything, you know.
Which I should say, like, you know, Black trans women are the reason why we have Pride. So,
really?
Yeah, they were the first people who threw, you know, bricks at Stonewall and like really were fighting for the rights of LGBTQ Americans back 50 years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, to see them then get almost excommunicated from the movement, you know, for quite a few years, just because it was taken over by, you know, a lot of white people and white gay men specifically, you know, it's been like an amazing journey the last 2 years to see that story come to life and say like, hey, Black trans women have like really made the difference for the way this movement has moved forward. And so like now we're like, let's do it. Black Lives Matter, you know, this month of June, rightfully so, I think, was given to that movement and deservedly so.
You are a very big supporter and advocate for everything you just spoke about this show publicly, which was really awesome to watch and see.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's a controversial topic. I mean, to say that Black Lives Matter is to like, or to say it doesn't, you know, is to inherently say like, my colleagues, my coworkers at my station's lives are inherently political, which they're, I mean, they shouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like, that's just a statement that they deserve to live when they're jogging or when they're doing their daily tasks, you know?
I wish that everyone thought the same way that you do, as I share that same sentiment. And I know it was like in media, we had, I really tiptoed around it.
I feel that.
And I think it's amazing that you didn't at all.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, like, especially with media, being in media, I'm like, I was talking with a lot of my colleagues who are Black. We have some incredible journalists at my station. Mm-hmm. And they are having to go out to these protests about a topic that centers around their violence.
Yes.
I mean, and while they're at these protests, I don't know if you saw, like, one of the CNN reporters in Minneapolis, I mean, he was arrested on air for doing literally nothing. He was a Black man. And so they're putting themselves in danger when they're going out into these protests. And so my thought was, let's raise money for the National Association of Black Journalists. I mean, they put on these amazing conferences every year. Mm-hmm. They have some incredible resources for, you know, people who are part of the organization. And so I was like, let's start a campaign. So I just, like, started all of these people.
Oh, you're so awesome.
It was a great way to at least show our colleagues, like, we're here for you, you know, and here's the ways, like, that we're showing our support visibly on our Facebook pages and on our Instagrams and Twitters, but also, like, monetarily through, like, giving you the resources you need to make sure that your mental health is stable, to make sure that, you know, you have these conferences available and workshops available to you to become better journalists and keep doing the good work.
Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing. You make it, you really humanize. I think that's what you're so good at doing.
Oh, come on.
Like, you really just
a journalist, right?
Really just humanize it in a way that makes it silly. Like, why wouldn't you support it and be really open about it?
Yeah.
You know? And it's not, I mean, I know in my life, I have a lot of people who don't see it that way at all. Like, not even and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And a lot of lives, and I feel like a lot of friendships and connections have really been, I'm just going to say, like, a little tainted for me.
I feel that.
You know, this year, which I think is a good thing, you know, just makes everybody else grow closer together.
We are all, you know? Hopefully, like, getting better.
It's like I snipped my basil plant of all the leaves that were yellow and brown, and then it all grew back amazingly, super, super fast. It just, you know, it's like the same thing, just like trim the fat, and then you're going to flourish within it. It's
We're seeds. You plant us, we rise.
It's so cute. I feel like, and with that, I'm going to end with Megan. Yeah. There we go. I could, like, talk on, so, like, do you have an end goal? Like, you want to be the next Oprah or someone that you really look up to that you've gone back to, or had within your heart and, like, you visualized throughout your journey professionally?
You know, I feel like personally, like, I always have looked up to Katie Couric. Mm-hmm. So that's, she was the host of the Today Show for years, I think more than 15 years.
Yeah.
Early 90s to mid 2000s. And she, I mean, she was always an inspiration for me as a journalist. I think she has such a bright personality in the mornings. I love morning television. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, my favorite place ever. Because I also am like, okay, we're up for the day. Let's do it. Let's go. You know what I mean? And so to feel like, you know, you're learning, you're educating yourself about the issues of the day in your local community while you're doing that, amazing. And you can have some fun. Like, I'm on radio, it's the same vibes in that, you know, you don't have to be too rigid. You don't have to be too strict. And so I always appreciate that. I don't think news has to be, you know, like a computer being like, da, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so I love morning news. I don't know exactly where I want to go because, you know, I don't exactly know how people are going to be consuming news in, like, 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's changing so much.
Yeah, but, like, I would love to be able to do it on a very casual basis, like the mornings provide. Yeah. And
let's keep up that TikTok game, girl.
TikTok
and, like,
on the clock. Mm-hmm.
TikTok is really controlling even songs we play on the radio because they become popular on TikTok. And now, I mean, I would say since COVID, at least three songs we love them or whatever, but it's trending now and we have to play because it's on TikTok so much.
Totally.
And then the children influence their parents and mm-hmm. it's all the whole cycle that all starts with the TikTok.
That is, it's becoming huge. And it's also becoming hilarious because I posted, like, my first video essentially, like, a week ago.
Uh-huh.
And I have, like, all these views
I'm like, oh my God. Are you nervous about the second one now? Like, what do I do to make it as
good? I've done like 8 now because I have been like, okay, whoa, this got so many. I need to keep it. Now it's like the pressure of keeping it up.
Ah, good for you. I'm so bad. I'll do one that's good and then somehow like, the pressure to keep it up, or somehow I like.
I don't feel the pressure.
Well, like I did it. All right, done. It was like the sorority did it one year, did it well, and was like, bam. And there we go.
I did it.
Will you teach me how to use TikTok? I want to make a video of somebody teaching me how to use TikTok because I have tried. I've had a TikTok for like over a year, mm-hmm. and every time I'm like, I'm gonna take 12 minutes and I'm gonna make one.
Yes.
And I get so confused and I end up like posting it on my Instagram or like emailing it to someone and I'm like, what did I do?
Oh yeah.
I have no, it's to me, it's incredibly confusing.
It is confusing. It's an interesting medium. And I saw that there's like a big controversy that the US may actually pull out of TikTok.
Japan already did.
Yes, and so did India.
Yep, I saw India was the first, right?
Yes,
and then Japan.
So you know, this could be a dated podcast by the time that it airs. But you know,
awesome. It's,
yes.
Okay. It's well, crazy. Good to know. Part
so
of history.
Follow me on Instagram because you know.
I was like, oh yeah.
I don't know if TikTok is gonna last.
Oh, your Instagram is great as well. I love all of your media. It's great. You are an influencer as well and a style icon.
You're
into it.
I love style. Like
you too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So and it's not like a girly style, it's kind of like a tomboyish mm-hmm. type of style, but like it's one of my favorite things because it's like my own, you know.
Dude, same. I feel like I don't put enough. I feel like I spend too much time doing other things and not like
style.
Mm-hmm. When mm-hmm. I used to before I moved out west, really, all I did was shop, and that was my whole thing.
I have just, like 3 pairs of shoes coming in the mail soon.
Oh, nice! I feel like I've always dressed. But what is your inspiration?
Okay, I feel like it's just like the idea of like fresh vintage, and not like vintage as in like you know like a plaid skirt, like vintage as in like old Nike. Like there's a place called Rad OTR.
Oh, I love
Down
it.
In OTR.
Yeah.
And I'm like friends with the people who own it. Like they tell me when they get like smalls and mediums in.
Yes.
I just like love old designer like menswear. Mm-hmm. It sounds really weird.
No, it doesn't.
But like I love it.
I love wearing tuxedos. Mm.
So much fun.
Yes.
So much fun.
Yes.
And so I'm just like obsessed with that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm just like similar. I love fashion. Just pretty much like anything. I think I've always kind of end up dressing like a grandma.
No,
like,
you don't.
Like a super dope grandma who wears a lot of bling and
I
like
love
a
that.
Fresh pair of sneaks
okay,
and a flat
I
bill.
Understand where you were going with that
you
now. I'm
mean?
Like, it's you're a not a grandma. You're like one of those flamboyant grandmas.
Yes, just like my grandma.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't think that they wore like gym shoes or whatever, but they, especially my grandma Jones, smoked cigarettes, always had a bunch of money in her bra, stole money from the government. Don't tell anyone.
Oh my
and,
God.
And like, always had a bunch of jewelry on and like yelled at people. I'm super nice.
Amazing.
And she like drove a Cadillac and was getting speeding tickets until she couldn't drive anymore. I mean, she wore a lot of silk. Yeah.
Okay, well, we stand.
She was great. Let me eat Fruity Pebbles and watch MTV.
Oh my God.
Anyway, well, that's wonderful. Okay, so we like, you are just so great, Megan Mitchell.
Nat, thank you.
Follow her at Megan Mitchell with 4 L's.
Yeah.
And you're on, is that the main medium, Instagram and TikTok? And what is your TikTok?
Same, Megan.Mitchell with 4 L's.
Oh my God, Megan.Mitchell with 4 L's. Okay, I got to change it on the Facebook thing. And I was like, all of mine are Nat Jones with 3 O's on Twitter,
fun.
On Instagram, on whatever else you can do. You just
scoop that username up.
Yes.
This love
is, maybe there's 4 on one of them or 2 on, you know, but it's just like the O's.
Yes.
And is there anything else that you want to say?
I hope you guys all have a great day.
Oh my God. I say, make yourself proud today.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, make yourself proud.
Have a great day, girls.
And I just want to say, Megan came on her, this is your day off. So, and as you've devoted now 2.5 hours to all of this work today.
There's nowhere I'd rather be.
So, see, girl, with a smile on your face, I believe it.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And then I will edit in a whole bunch of other things. But Megan Mitchell, you're on. WLWT, that is Channel 5.
At 5 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays.
5 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays and in the field every other day of the week, except for Mondays and Tuesdays.
You bet.
Damn, girl.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Word. And cool. That's it.